Privacy Update by Royal Van Horn. In a perfect world, I wouldn't have to write updates about privacy issues every year or so. Ours is not a perfect world, so I feel compelled to review privacy issues that have been reported in the technical press recently. Even if you are a cautious internet user, you should still be concerned about this issue, because many children are not cautious users. A recent Pew Internet study, to be found at www.pewinternet.org, reported that, quote, bloggers are overwhelmingly young adults who hail from urban and suburban areas, end quote. 77% of bloggers report sharing artwork, photos, stories, or video on the internet, compared with 26% of all internet users. 19% of all internet users between ages 12 and 17 keep a blog, and 38% of all teens who go online report reading a blog. According to the Pew report, quote, younger bloggers were among the most likely to say that they blog to document and share their lives, end quote. Just when you might have thought cell phones were safe, along comes the revelation that selling or giving away an old cell phone is unwise. As it turns out, newer cell phones have two memories, both of which are difficult, if not impossible, to completely erase. The same goes for personal digital assistants, PDAs, such as Palm or Trio. Cell phones and PDAs have the memory in the phone itself and a memory chip that is usually located under the rear cover near the battery. This latter memory chip is usually similar to a digital camera's secure digital or SD chip. If the manufacturer of the cell phone or PDA provides instructions for erasing both memories, they are usually buried somewhere in the fine print of the user's manual. Furthermore, erasing the memory does not mean that what was in the memory is gone. This takes a little explaining. Cell phones and PDAs use what is called static memory chips. Static memory retains information even when the power is off or the memory chip is removed from the device. Static memory chips have a directory that stores the location of all the items you have in the memory: phone numbers, addresses, pictures, voicemail passwords, saved instant messages, and so on. This is analogous to a book that has a table of contents and tells you the location of various chapters. If you tear out the table of contents, the chapters remain intact. They're just more difficult to find. When you're erasing memory chips, unless you undertake a special procedure, you simply erase the directory. You don't remove the contents of the chip, which can be reconstructed using a utility that is similar to a disk drive repair and recovery utility. Companies like Drive Savers have this technology, which is a good thing if you need to recover those precious family vacation photos from a damaged chip. Unfortunately, a lot of unscrupulous people also have utilities that can reconstruct a damaged memory chip from a cell phone. Obviously, the same applies to old computer disk drives. Incidentally, to thoroughly erase the entire contents of a memory chip or disk drive requires randomly filling the memory with gibberish 10 times over. According to a CBSNews.com article that appeared August 30th, Trust Digital, a company that makes cell phone security software for large corporations, recently conducted an experiment. Staff members purchased 10 newer, relatively sophisticated cell phones from eBay. They then used the type of software I described earlier to extract information from the phones. They found a total of 27,000 pages of information containing bank accounts and passwords, lurid exchanges between lovers, email accounts and passwords, prescription drug information, and on and on. Incidentally, some of this information came from the cellular network servers that store things your cell phone accesses, like your voicemail. The best advice I have read about disposing of an old cell phone is to drive over it with a heavy truck. Your cell phone's memory is not the only threat to your privacy. Reverse phone search sites abound on the internet. If you enter a name, these sites dig up a cell phone number. Similarly, if you enter a cell phone number, these sites can give you the owner's name and address. An even greater threat to privacy is LocateCell and companies like it. For $110, LocateCell will sell you the last 100 outgoing calls made on nearly any cell phone. If address information is available for the called number, you also receive that. Cell phone service providers are obviously working feverishly to plug the leaks of this kind of information, but apparently they are not having much success. Some states have outlawed LocateCell and other call log providers. Internet searching is also becoming more of a threat to privacy. For example, if you have a Gmail account with Google and you search using Google's search engine, the company keeps a record of your searches. It also scans all of your email messages, searching for words that can help target advertising at you. Here are the email to search engine ties: Google with Gmail and Google Talk, MSN with Hotmail, and MSN Messenger, A9 with Amazon. Although I have written about cookies before, a reminder is in order. Many websites that you visit send small files called cookies to your computer. It is virtually impossible to set your browser to reject all cookies because many websites simply will not work without sending you a cookie. No matter how safely you browse, you are likely to collect cookies that you should delete. I recently read my cookie file and found cookies such as Google AdShare. Note the letters ad. I also found a half dozen cookies from MSN.com. This surprised me, since I never visit MSN, so I deleted these cookies. If you have several browsers on your computer, check the cookie file for each of them. The most fundamental principle of wise internet use is to never give personal information to anyone you don't know will guard it. Bloggers, of course, violate this principle regularly. One important way you can protect your personal information is to be certain you never send personal information to an unsecure website. You can tell if a website is secure by looking at the address pane of your browser. If the site is secure, the address will start with HTTPS and not simply HTTP. On most browsers, you can set the preferences to always warn you before sending anything to an unsecure site. As used here, secure means that the information will be safely transmitted to the receiving site, but it does not mean the receiving site will keep it secure once it is obtained. There is not room here to discuss two other substantial issues: surveillance cameras and the monitoring of email. My campus, for instance, has more than 50 security cameras that are monitored 24 hours a day, and it issues a disclaimer on all campus email to the effect that it will be monitored. All of this is just more proof, if we needed any, that we should in fact provide media literacy instruction in the schools. Tech Briefs. Harvard Law School's Berkman Center for Internet and Society and Oxford University's Oxford Internet Institute jointly run a useful website called StopBadware.org. The organization recently proclaimed AOL 9.0 to be badware because it does all kinds of malicious things when you install it, such as change all your network preferences and install software that it does not openly warn you about. A friend recently installed AOL 9.0 on his computer. Then he had to spend more than 2 hours trying to uninstall it so he could get his machine reconfigured the way he wanted it. Although you may or may not agree with the philosophy of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, www.eff.org, the organization's website has some of the best available information and tips on protecting your privacy. A particularly useful report is 6 Tips to Protect Your Online Search Privacy. One of the suggestions is to turn off your DSL or cable modem every day. With most companies that provide internet access, this procedure usually results in your modem receiving a new Internet Protocol or IP address. Because websites usually file the information they collect about you by your IP number, getting a new IP number daily makes it much more difficult for snoopers. The U.S. Secretary of Education's Commission on the Future of Higher Education recently released the draft of a working paper that claimed that our nation's colleges and universities are unaccountable, inefficient, and inaccessible. In response, it is seeking to begin collecting personal information that will allow us to quantify our students' performance in college and in the workforce. This massive government database is being called a consumer-friendly information database. This database would be a mandatory federal registry of all American students throughout their collegiate careers, every course, every step, every grade, various test scores, and time to completion. To find the report, go to www.ed.gov and click on the administrator's link. Then do a search using the commission's name. Consumer Reports has an excellent site called WebWatch, www.consumerwebwatch.org. The organization is promoting 5 guiding principles for websites to adhere to, and most pertain to protecting privacy. More than 200 sites have taken the pledge, and they are listed on the organization's site. Curiously, not one of the major search engine sites is listed. Many color printers now print a code on every page that identifies the printer's make, model, and serial number. This is a program supported by the government to help prosecute counterfeiters. You can read more about these codes at www.eff.org/privacy/printers/wp.php. Maybe Big Brother really is watching.